Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the USA Hockey conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's presentation, Mr. Dave Fisher. Mr. Fisher, you may begin, sir.
Howard, thanks very much, and good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for your patience. I know we had some confusion in terms of the numbers. I trust everybody has got connected, and we're pleased to have with us as part of our Hockey Weekend Across America series of media teleconferences, Brian Burke, today. I think you all know Hockey Weekend Across America is an initiative USA Hockey began a year ago. This is the second annual event presented by Reebok, and is an initiative that USA Hockey started to celebrate the game at all levels of hockey and all those involved, and also to engage more young kids in playing your game, more fans, coaches, officials of the games, etc. Tomorrow is the official kickoff of Hockey Weekend Across America, and our theme is Wear Your Favorite Jersey, so we encourage you all tomorrow to pick out your favorite hockey jersey and wear it. Saturday, bring a friend to the rink, and Sunday, celebrate Local Hockey Heroes Day. HockeyWeekendAcrossAmerica.com is the website, and you can garner more information of all the things happening around the country at that website. I think you all know Brian Burke. He needs a little introduction. He is the general manager of the 2010 United States Olympic men's ice hockey team and, of course, the GM and president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Brian has had a long history of hockey in our country and in leadership roles on the USA Hockey side in particular. In February of 2007, he was named to our national team advisory group, a capacity he has served in since. And back in 1993, he was the general manager of the U.S. men's national team at the IIHF Men's World Championship in Germany. And without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Brian for some opening remarks on his journey in hockey in America, and also to share with us in celebration of Sunday's theme about who his hockey hero is. Berkey?
Thanks, Fish. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for Hockey Weekend Across America with USA Hockey and our friends at Reebok, of course. I do want to thank everyone for taking the time. When I was asked to do this, I jumped at it like I do anytime USA Hockey asks me to do something, because I think for us to elevate this game and celebrate this game, we need to take every opportunity that we have to do it. I was asked to talk about my journey in hockey. It's a little different than a lot of people's in that I didn't start playing hockey until I was 13, and that's obviously very late. My family, there's 10 kids in my family. We moved to Minnesota when I was 12, and I remember being in the hotel waiting for the moving truck with, you know, 10 kids. I don't know how many rooms we had, two or three. And watching the high school tournament on television and being awed by how great the players were and how exciting the atmosphere was, and I was hooked. And so I started playing the next year as a 13-year-old. And Bob O'Connor, who was just a wonderful man, was my first coach, and he is one of my heroes. He encouraged me to play. I played for him again as a second-year midget, and we went to the national championship. But my first year was House Bantam, second year same. Third year, Midget B, fourth year, Midget A, again playing for Bob O'Connor and Bart Larson. Went to the national championships in Dearborn, Michigan. Next year, played for Edina West High School. So my fifth year of organized hockey, I was playing Minnesota State High School hockey. Very proud of that and the work that went into that. And then my sixth year of organized hockey was a walk-on at Providence College, where I met another one of my heroes, Lou Lamoriello. Played 4 years there, and then a brief and very unspectacular professional career with the Philadelphia Flyers, 1 year in the American League, and then I went back to school. My management career started in 1987, as an assistant GM with the Vancouver Canucks, moving on to general manager of the Hartford Whalers in 92, then senior VP at the NHL from 93 to 98, general manager in Vancouver 98 to 04, and then in Anaheim 05 till November of this year. This past year in 08, and since then with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I've been very fortunate, starting as late as I did. The only reason I had a chance to even get to the college level was the coaching and the support that I got from USA Hockey. I was never a good enough athlete to represent my country as a player, and so to be offered the general manager's position with the 2010 Olympic team in Vancouver representing USA Hockey once again. I was flattered, awed, and jumped at it. So I owe USA Hockey a lot. I said this last year, hockey, it's been a very unequal partnership for me. I've gotten far more out of hockey than I've given back, even though I've tried. Hockey has made a huge impact on my life. It educated me. It educated my children. I've traveled the globe. It's just been a wonderful influence in USA Hockey. There was always someone from USA Hockey standing in front of me, either showing me how to do something or encouraging me to try it. And I'll never forget that. And that's what we have to provide for all the young men and women that want to play hockey across America. So as we celebrate Hockey Weekend across America, thank you to USA Hockey for the leadership role they continue to provide for hockey players in the U.S. And they do an amazing, amazing job. They don't get enough credit, but I'm here to tell you they made all the difference in my career in hockey. So, Fish, thank you for inviting me to be here. If I had to pick one hero in hockey for me, it would be Lou Nanny. When I was a kid in Minnesota, he was an icon as a player, and he wasn't the greatest player, but he was clearly a leader and did lots of things well, represented the U.S. on national teams, always went when the international people asked him to go. And this is a time when the U.S. team wasn't that competitive at times. Then turned the North Stars, as far as a leader and a general manager, selling the game constantly, encouraging the Minnesota contingent. You know, the people that I grew up worshiping, the Herb Brooks, the John Mariucci's, that group, Doug Woog. But if I had to pick one guy, and he's still a close friend, it would be Lou Nanny. Thanks, Fish.
All right, Berkey, thanks very much. And, of course, we are 1 year out from the 2010 Olympic Winter Games today, 1 year out from today, and we're excited about that. That's obviously part of the call today. And in regards to Hockey Weekend across America, just a couple things I'll mention before we turn it back to Howard for the Q&A. We were pleased that Mayor Daley in Chicago has proclaimed this Hockey Weekend across Chicago. And earlier this week, Mayor Nutter in Philadelphia proclaimed it Hockey Week in Philadelphia. So that among the many, many great things happening across our country as part of this festivity. And at this time, I'd like to bring Howard back in, and he'll take us through the question and answer portion of today's teleconference. Howard?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Once again, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone phone. Our first question or comment comes from the line of Jesse Michael from the Sheridan Sun. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian.
Hey,
just a question about involving the picking the team. Do you pick your team based around how any other team may be leaning on choosing their teams, whether you do matchups to what they're thinking about picking, or how does the process work?
Well, we're not going to see the other team's selections before we have to make our own. So, first off, let's go through the selection process. There's five general managers that serve on a committee that's helping us put this team together. Paul Holmgren, Ray Shiro, Don Waddell, and then, of course, the associate general manager of the Olympic team, David Poile, and myself. And Jim Johansson, who, is Mr. Everything for USA Hockey, is absolutely invaluable in terms of everything he provides. So that group, and then we've used one other GM, Dean Lombardi, as a scout. That's the group that will put the team together. Our philosophy is, no different than my philosophy in building a team. We're not going to pick the team on a reactive basis. We're going to pick a team that can, our goal is to be able to succeed regardless of the style of the team we play. So we want to be fast enough to play speed teams, big enough to play big teams. I divide my teams in the top six forwards, bottom six forwards. Top six guys that try to concentrate my skill, and the bottom six guys that pick and shovel guys. And in an Olympic competition, those pick and shovel guys, the guys that are asked to do those jobs might be pretty skilled players, but they might be asked to accept a very different role for a short tournament.
Thank you.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Darrell Houston from Houston Smith from RotoWire. Your line is open.
Hello, Mr. Burke.
Hello.
Hi. I'm concerned about, I understand the bottom six, top six, but especially matching up with Canada, we seem to be coming up a little on the small side. Our top six are very well skilled, but very small. How do you plan on combating that?
I'm amazed that you could say we're too small when we haven't picked a team yet, but you must be a lot smarter than I am. It's an astute comment. If you look at the probable top grouping, you're right. It's an astute comment. And I will say this. I predict that we will be the smallest and youngest team in the tournament, and I predict that not 1 cent is going to be bet on Team USA in Vegas. But we're going there to win anyhow, and I don't mind going in an underdog role. And if we're small in the top six, we're going to have to probably fill out the bottom six with some beef.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Lonnie Schwartz from HockeyBarn.com. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. This is Lonnie from HockeyBarn.com, the new online community for all things hockey. My question to you, sir, is how do you react to fans and media that have deemed you as the savior of the U.S. national hockey team and one of the most storied franchises in pro sports, that would be the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, I haven't seen too many people say that. I think we better win a few more games in Toronto before anyone starts calling me a savior of anything. Let's take them separately. First off, with the Toronto situation, obviously very flattered to be given the wheel at a franchise, with a franchise with that storied past. It is one of the most famous franchises in professional sports on the globe, not just in the National Hockey League, not just in Canada, not just in North America. It is one of the biggest iconic brands on the planet. And so when someone says to you, we want you to run this team, that has special significance, and I'm awed by it and flattered by it and grateful for it. The job of rebuilding a team doesn't change in Canada. It's no different than it was in Anaheim. It's no different than it was in Hartford. There's just a little more scrutiny, a little more pressure, and that's okay. I've worked in Canada enough in my adult life that I'm accustomed to that. As far as the U.S. team, our program, if you look at programs across the globe, and Fish might yell at me after we get off the call here, I don't believe any program has improved more in the last 15 years than the U.S. program. I think that's beyond dispute. I really do. It's not just because I'm a proud American. If you look at the numbers and the under-18 team, the number of first-round picks, number of second-round picks, the percentage increase is so dramatic and so large and so staggering that I think you have to point a finger at USA Hockey and say they're doing something right. That's what I believe. Now, whether that group can take its place on the podium remains to be seen. Obviously, in 96, U.S. won a World Cup in Canada. We've won gold in Squaw Valley and Lake Placid. We won silver in Sapporo. This is the team who won silver in Salt Lake. This is the team, our program doesn't have to apologize to anybody. Like, we think we're one of the elite programs. That being said, given the constitution of our team and the other gentleman's question, we're probably going to be on the small side, and we're going to be young. But that being said, we're going to win. It's the only reason we're going to Vancouver, and that's to win.
Thank you, Brian.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Your line is open.
Hey, Berkey, how you doing?
Hey, Dan.
How often do you meet or talk with Poile and Shiro and Holmgren and the rest of the guys on the staff about potential players for 2010?
We've had a couple meetings. We've had two meetings. We have another meeting in 3 weeks for the whole group of five. I'd say David and I have been talking, I'd have to double check, but probably every other day or every third day. And then the group, I'll call Ray Shiro and ask him a question, or call Paul Holmgren and ask him a question. But we put in a rating system last fall. We have been watching the games, rating our players, rating the American players. We've reduced the group that we're watching significantly, so we're watching a much smaller group. Our group wants a small evaluation, wrong terminology, orientation camp. The camp where we bring in the players that are likely to be on that team, we want that group as small as possible. You know, in the old days, they would have brought in 40 or 50 guys to camp. We're going to try and keep that number under 30. And that 30 will include a couple guys who we don't think will be on the team, but are young players we want to, you know, get involved with USA Hockey and, you know, get them to absorb the culture and drink the Kool-Aid and see how important it is to be a part of what we're trying to do. So it could be only 28 candidates on a roster of 23. And, you know, there's a lot more than 28 good hockey players in the United States. There are going to be some disappointed people, and there are going to be some people yelling and screaming and pointing fingers and saying, you know, that's the beauty of selection. You name an all-star team or you name an Olympic team, and, you know, you name 20 guys, 21st guy is a pretty good player, and everyone from that particular team and that, you know, city starts throwing rocks. So it'll be an interesting time. But I'm comfortable with the rating system we put in, with the people we have evaluating. I think the selection process will send the 20 best that we, you know, the 20 plus three best we can send.
Do you look at guys like Madonna, Tkachuk, the older guys, and say maybe their time has passed, or do you need, even though you want to bring a young team, do you still need some of that? And I know Tkachuk is a meat and potatoes guy. Madonna's a guy who can still skate. You know, do you still need some of the older guys there as well?
That's, again, an astute question. We have not resolved that. I will tell you, at no point have we said, anyone in the group said, that we don't or can't use, that we're not going to use or can't use any of, you know, the great generation of U.S. players. I mean, you have to keep this in perspective. For the last 20 years, our teams have included one or more of a group of guys, and the last 15, virtually all these guys, this is a group of guys who I predict will all be in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Some of them already are. But before we're done, and I don't have a list here, this is from memory, but you're talking about some of the greatest players that ever wore the red, white, and blue, and these guys showed up at every tournament. They represented the U.S. every time they were asked. They did it with pride and passion and valor, and that shouldn't be overlooked regardless of what happens in 2010. I'll come back to that, but that's Mike Modano, you know, Keith Tkachuk, Mike Richter, Billy Guerin, Dougie Waite. You know, and again, I'm not even, Brian Leetch, not even begin to, Fish, you jump in with a couple more names when I get done, please, because I don't mean to exclude anybody. But that group carried the standard for USA Hockey and international hockey with great distinction. And they may not be represented on this team. This may be a total change in the guard. The World Championship team we had in Halifax last year was not represented by that group. So it may be a full turning of the page, and it may not. I will tell you one thing. It would be grossly unfair to that group to make that determination based on age or that it's time to turn the page, so let's make a total change. We're going to make it on the merits of the people involved.
And one more, if I could ask you, Berkey. Rick DiPietro, you know, he's got injury problems. We all know it. Is, you know, I mean, you obviously, you know, have to see the guy play before you can even consider whether he's going to be there or not. But, I mean, is he still in the group of guys you could watch at least at, you know, beginning of next season? Or is he off the radar a little bit as a result of the injuries?
Not a chance. He's too good an athlete to be off the radar. And hopefully, you hope with any players that have injury trouble that they solve those injury problems and get healthy. This is a guy who is a world-class athlete, a world-class goaltender, great kid, and yes, he's very much alive, even though he hasn't been able to stay healthy the last couple of years. But no, Rick DiPietro is very much alive. And, you know, we don't have, I just bragged about how much the pool has increased. I will also add, it's not deep enough that we can overlook an athlete of that magnitude as we put our team together.
Thanks a lot, Berkey.
Howard, if I could just jump in here, too, Gang, if we could just limit to a question and maybe a follow-up just with the volume, just to be fair to everybody, I appreciate it. And if we just keep it, we've been doing a great job, Howard, on just keeping it to questions. We want to just eliminate the comments if we can.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Chris Johnson from the Canadian Press. Your line is open.
Brian, just wondering, you know, given the deeper talent pool perhaps that you have alluded to, how much more difficult you think this job, you know, it was for you and your cohorts this year than it would have been, you know, say 10 years ago?
I think it's a lot more difficult, and that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful headache to have. Thank you, USA Hockey, for making this more difficult. I'd much rather have harder choices to make among more athletes than, you know, where if 20 of us were polled, we'd have 18 of the guys picked in advance. I'd much rather have a deeper pool to choose from. So, yeah, you're absolutely correct, Chris. It creates a headache. You know, pass me the aspirin. Very happy to have it.
Thanks, Brian.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Cam Cole from the Vancouver Sun. Your line is open.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. Cam, how are you?
Very well, thanks. You've been on this theme before about how much pressure there is playing in Canada. The Canadian Olympic team, obviously, we just talked to Steve Yzerman a couple hours ago, is going to be under immense pressure when they get to Vancouver to win this thing on home ice. How do you see that playing into the whole formula when it comes down to actually performing on the ice?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? I mean, when you apply to host the Olympics, you get when they make that announcement. I was there in Vancouver when they opened that envelope and said Vancouver. That at that moment, all the pressure shifted to the Canadian team for the hockey part of this tournament, and how they handle that is going to be a huge part of whether they're successful or not. It's not like, I mean, the Olympics are this huge elephant on the sports stage, but you're talking, you know, a religious part of Canada that hockey represents, and now they're playing for a gold medal on Canadian soil. The pressure's immense.
Thanks, Brian.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Bob Duff from the Windsor Star. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. I'm just wondering, you've taken over in charge of a team that's certainly at the beginning of a rebuilding process, and you're also assembling the Olympic team. You might be the busiest man in hockey over the next year. How are you going to find enough time in the day to get it all done?
Well, if you notice, the national teams and Olympic teams for the last little while have been put together by NHL general managers, by and large, Canada and the U.S. I think it's a pretty silly question.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Eric Duhaschek from the Toronto News. Your line is open.
Berkey, you referenced the 96 World Cup when Ron Wilson was behind the bench for that. Is he a candidate this time around, even the leading candidate?
He's a candidate. Our committee has not discussed coaches. We're doing that. We've discussed them, but we haven't, you know, drilled down on them. That's going to take place at the next meeting, and he is definitely a candidate. And, you know, there are several, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. What is your timetable for that? Yzerman was suggesting that he wanted his group in place by as soon as possible after the season, so that then the coaches could have a little bit of input into the selection process in case they had a thought about, you know, one or two players that they might want to have that, you know, that might sort of be flying under the radar for the managers involved in the selection process.
Well, our timetable will be dictated by USA Hockey. You know, like I'm the general manager of this team, but we represent USA Hockey, and we have not received our instructions on that. Certainly,
okay.
My wish list time-wise would be comparable to what Stevie exclaimed. Not before the draft, but, you know, not to take away from the draft or the teams that participate in the finals, but certainly very shortly after that, and certainly before the orientation camp in August.
Okay. Thanks, Berkey.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Craig Custance from the Sporting News. Your line is open.
Brian, I kind of piggybacking on what Dan was getting at with the kind of the changing of the guard. I mean, what are your thoughts? Is it a little better to almost kind of go completely young so there's not that, you know, that awkward transition? I mean, can you do a partial transition with some of those great players from the past, or are you almost better off kind of letting the new generation take the mantle?
Well, I think it depends on how the you know, that if you look at I'm trying to think of an appropriate term for that group. Someone on here with better artistic talents than I have will think of one. If you look at that group of warriors, you know, to me it's unfair. It's no different than saying we're not taking anyone over this age. To say, well, it's time to turn the page and exclude a guy whose play might warrant his inclusion, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I know where you're getting at, but to me, you know, the greatest player that's ever represented, I mean, I'm not, with all, you know, great due respect to the 1960 team, great respect to the 1980 team, the guy that's worn the sweater and accomplished the most and competed the hardest, for my money, in my lifetime is Chris Chelios. Now, is he a guy that could help Team USA as a player at this point? Probably not. But I certainly want him involved in some capacity. So I think based on the way the season has begun, you cannot exclude Mike Modano. You cannot exclude Keith Tkachuk based on their play so far. So, no, no one's drawing any lines on anything. No one's trying to make a statement. We're going to try and take the 20 best skaters and the 3 best goaltenders and go and win the tournament. If that means some of this, you know, official think of a name for this group, if that means some of the, you know, the old Warriors go along, then they go along.
Thanks, bro.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Kevin McGran from the Toronto Star. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. Touching on the Ron Wilson thing again, how dicey a situation do you think it would be for you, I guess, professionally with Ron if he's not among your coaching staff? I mean, the reason I ask is because of the history with Curtis Joseph and Pat Quinn in the 02 Olympics.
Well, I don't care what didn't work for other teams before. You know, Ron Wilson and I go back to I first met him in the fall of 1973. We've been friends ever since. His daughter's my goddaughter. You know, right now we're in a new relationship. You know, Ron worked for me in Vancouver before, but not in this direct a situation. And we're making that work. You know, I think people can see how I work. And the coach is the coach. And I want him to be the voice of the team. I want him to have complete authority. And I think that, you know, we're going to, our friendship's going to survive this relationship, ups and downs. And I think it's strong enough it's going to survive that selection if it doesn't include Ron Wilson for 2 reasons. One, I think we're better friends than that. But two, this selection isn't going to be made by Brian Burke. This team's going to be put together by this group. At the end of the day, David Poile and myself. And I would expect that any player who's omitted or any coach who's omitted, they'll be omitted because we're trying to win this tournament, and I'd expect them to handle it professionally, including Ron.
Just a follow-up. You said the pressure is basically on Canada because it's on home turf. How does that sort of factor in? Does it help the American cause or the cause of the other teams with the pressure on Canada, or hinder it?
Well, I think I didn't listen to Stevie's press conference. My guess is he's trying to downplay the amount of pressure. And that's what I would do if I were the GM of Team Canada and we're on Canadian soil. I think the pressure is going to be immense, as I said earlier, and how they handle that's going to determine their fate. And to me, our squad is going to fly under the radar to a very large extent. When people put the teams on paper, you know, like we already had an earlier questioner say, oh, the 4 is going to be tiny. You know, well, we haven't even picked the team yet. And so, you know, I think when people put all the teams on paper, they're going to say, oh, look at the favorites in this tournament. And they're not going to mention our team, and that's fine with us. If we go to Vancouver under the radar, that's fine, because I think there's going to be this huge glacier of pressure on the Canadian team.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Matthew Trevison from CTV. Your line is open.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for the time today. I'm just wondering really quickly, getting into Toronto for the last few months and now building a team with the U.S., what kind of experience you can take from your brief experience in Toronto and pass on to the brief experience that we'll be building this team?
Well, I think the mechanics of putting a team together don't change. You know, this isn't my first rebuilding job in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Went through it with Pat Quinn in Vancouver, went through it in Hartford briefly, but I think in Hartford we've made some unbelievable strides in 15 months. Went through it in Vancouver, went through it in Anaheim, and the blueprint hasn't changed for me. And it's, you know, I've said it so long that people can probably recite it, but it's focus on character people, identify leadership, and then find people specific jobs to do. You know, if you drive by a job site, so I tell my players all the time, drive by a job site, you don't see people standing around. You see one guy pounding nails, one guy digging a ditch, one guy welding a pipe. You got to be able to do a job that justifies your presence on that job site, no different than a hockey team. Now, the one difference is in a short tournament, you might not need, you know, you might try and structure your leadership a little different, or your, you know, defense pairings. In other words, it might be, or you don't have to build it for 82 games, it might be different. But other than that, you know, the Steve Yzerman's blueprint, I would hazard a guess, is not going to be very different from mine, and mine's not going to be very different from whoever's in charge of the Soviet team or Russian team and so on. So I don't know if I can take much of the – I've been in Toronto 100 days, I think. I'm not sure that I can transfer much of that.
Well, and what, just quick follow-up, from 2006, what does the team need to do differently to be more successful?
Lots of things. And and that's why Donnie Waddell's part of our management team. That's one thing we're trying to figure out is, you know, we weren't happy with the way that tournament went, nor was Canada. And so we're going back and second-guessing and nitpicking and trying to figure out, you know, what went wrong in the selection process. Or, you know, that's you can't learn from your mistakes unless you examine them. And once you examine them, you put them behind you and move on. But you have to look back and reconstruct what went wrong to the extent you can, and that's why Donnie Waddell is, you know, has been such a marvelous contributor for USA Hockey over the years. That's why he's on this committee, and his experience is invaluable to us.
Just to jump in, Howard, too, and just remind people, I think everybody probably knows we will conduct our Men's Olympic Orientation Camp in Chicago. On ice dates will be August 17th. 18 and 19 in the coming couple of months here. We'll have more details for you. You can be on the lookout for that. Howard?
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mr. Brian Gomez from the Colorado Spring Gazette. Your line is open.
Yeah, Brian, how many players were in your pool when you first started this process back in the fall, and how many would you say are in it right now?
I'd say, and I'll probably be off, Brian, I'll apologize. I could get you a more specific answer, but I would say, going in, the initial discussion was every single guy with an American passport, his name deserves to be considered. So we started with JJ, Jimmy Johansson, gave us a list of all the pro players who are American, and we didn't want to overlook one guy without at least talking about him. So we talked about every single American in the pool, and Fish can probably get you that number. As far as guys who were on NHL rosters at the start of the year, we started before the season began, but we used, I guess, the end of last year's, it must have been. So that, you know, if a young man comes up to me and says, I'm an American, I want to know if I was considered for that team, I can truthfully say to him, yes, sure. We talked about every single one. And again, I know we're going to make unpopular choices before we're done. That's part of the, that comes with the territory. You don't accept an assignment from USA Hockey on the basis of whether it'll be easy or not, whether it'll be popular or not. Your country asks you to do it, you do it.
Can you say how many are still remaining in your pool right now?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I'd say we're down to, from, you know, more in the 100, well, I'd have to get the exact number. I'd say we're down to, I wish David Poyle was on the phone, he's more precise than I am. I'd say we're down to 50.
Gotcha. Thanks, Brian.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mike Zeisberger from the Toronto Sun. Your line is open.
Yeah, Berkey, thanks for doing this. Just wondering, and I know you don't want to get into specifics, but is one area where this team at least appears to be strong, and you haven't obviously selected the guys yet, or goaltending, when you look at the way that guys like Ryan Miller and Tim Thomas are playing right now?
Well, again, what I'd say, Ike, since I heard it was Ike Zeisberger, Mike, what I would say is I'll leave that to you guys. To me, the danger when you're talking about a selection process is if you start boasting about that this is one position where we have depth or and then you get into injury situations when you start putting your team together, you look silly. So we like our depth at every position. The question is, you know, is it good enough to compete in this tournament, size, age issues? But we think we have depth at every position. As again, credit to USA Hockey. Now, you know, you can imagine, and that's why I say leave it to you, you can imagine Zach Parise is having a great year, wonderful young American player, product of, you know, USA Hockey, great kid. And who's he going to line up against? If he's a first-line winger, not saying he is, but if he is, who's he going to line up against? Is it going to be a Ginla or a Nash, or who's it going to be? Probably someone bigger. So that's going to be the, you know, the question mark is, are we going to be able to put the components together to be able to compete? We believe we are. But as far as the depth at different positions and where we have strength, we think we have depth and strength across the board, and we'll let you guys pick that apart or praise it.
As a quick follow-up, going into the World Championship, I mean, is it for some of these guys, obviously, who don't make the playoffs or who are out of the first round, is this going to be kind of like a chance for them to further showcase their wares, so to speak?
It's going to be a must. It's going to be a mandatory audition for some of them. Like, we're not begging anyone to play on this team. And if that means they've got to go to Switzerland and show us what they can do because we're undecided, then they better get on that plane.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. Our next question or comment is a follow-up from Mr. Lonnie Schwartz from HockeyBarn.com. Your line is open.
Berkey, HockeyBarn.com once again. I know this might seem a little off color and it's going a little way back, but it is for the community and it is for the fans. And it's a little bit out of the USA hockey pool here, but you were part of the Hartford Whalers organization, and a lot of fans out there still love the old nostalgia of what we have referred to as the Whale. Do you feel a little bit of nostalgia when people talk about that organization to this day?
Well, I think Fish would rather – I'll give you a short answer. Call me on my cell, and I'll happily answer that question.
I need that number, Berkey.
Pretty sure this group doesn't want to listen to the answer to that question, but yes, I do. It was I was only there a short time, but it's a great community, and we had very rabid support. Not enough, but the fans we had were terrific, and they're still mad at me for getting rid of Brass Bonanza.
Thanks, Berkey. I appreciate you humoring me and the great hockey community we got on HockeyBarn.com. Thanks so much.
I'm showing no additional questions in the queue at this time, sir.
Howard, thanks very much. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much. Tomorrow, of course, we'll conclude our series of media teleconferences with Mike Emmerich, Kevin Allen, and Eddie Olchuk. 1 o'clock Eastern time will be the kickoff for that one. If you need anything immediately, please call us here in the office, 719-538-1171. Certainly our thanks to Brian Burke and all of you, and we will look forward to gathering tomorrow. Have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may now disconnect. Everyone have a wonderful day.